What's going on, Eagles Nation? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Welcome to a Victory Sunday for the second time this season as the Eagles pull away in a nail-biting 20-16 victory over the Indianapolis Colts to improve to 2-1 on the season. Louis DiBiase here joining you on the Locked On Eagles post-game show alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. Gino, how many years have been knocked off your life? Is your heart still working after that game? Because I am just feeling like I just had a heart attack.
I'm really sick of it. I mean, I'm pulling my hair out every play, throwing my hat. I just want a one clean victory. But hey, that's what made these good teams, and that's why I wrote that article on how good they are in one score games. Now it really shows you how much better of a team that they actually are. And when dynasties are made, they're made from games like these. There's not many times when the Patriots are within a one score that you think, they might lose this game. And it's getting to that point that we're almost like that. If we're within one score, I feel like, as much as it scared me that they got down to the 10-yard line, I was not really too worried, honestly. Like, we've seen them do it before in the two Atlanta games and plenty of other times. It's cool to see your defense really dominate in the last seconds of the game when it actually matters.
Yeah, this isn't like I'll go back to 2012. The year after the Dream Team year, so the Redeem Team. And remember how they started off 3-1 that year, and they were winning these really scrappy, down-to-the-wire games, but you could kind of tell, like, they were turning over the football six times in a game, and you're like, this team should not be 3-1. Whereas it's a different situation now, where they're gritty wins, close, down-to-the-wire. Again, the fact, like, you wrote the article, from 2016 up until now, how this team has learned to close late in games, especially on the defensive side, in situations where they only have a couple yards to go to score and potentially beat you, and you hold tight in a playoff game against Atlanta, then in the season opener against Atlanta, and then once again against a Colts team that is respectable, you know, and you finish again, just the way they have learned to finish. Like you said, it's what makes a good team go to great, and it's the difference between, dynastic teams like the Patriots get these kind of wins. And but it is, you know, it's not like that 2012 year where you, like, this team should have beat the Colts by more, honestly. And they didn't have Alshon Jeffrey, they didn't have Jay Ajayi, they didn't have Darren Sproles. So I'll take this win. I'll take any win you can get with the injuries that the Eagles have had to deal with this past year, really, since the Super Bowl run, and the fact that they're sitting at 2-1 right now with Carson Wentz back. And we'll get into the Carson Wentz talk, because it was a good performance, if you ask me. You know, the fact that they're 2-1 going up against a Titans team next week, that they're coming off a big win against the Jaguars, but it's a potential real bounce back, you know, just big blowout win for the Eagles. I'm feeling good right now about it. I think this team is only going to get better. They're only going to get healthier. But yeah, Gino, like you said, I need a blowout win now, just for my mental health right now. It's just these down to the wire games. they're a lot of fun, and I probably enjoy them more so than blowout games. You know, I don't want 9 straight blowout games like there were really last year, but I could go for a nice 20-point victory against a Titans team next week, because these nail biters, they can't come every week for me, or I'm not going to make it through the season.
I agree 1,000% with that. I mean, we saw it last year. I said this to you before we hopped on the show, that the season just seems like eerily similar to last year. I mean, week one, you felt good, you got a victory. Week two, you had a disappointing loss when there were some questionable coaching calls. In 17, it was not running the ball as much, and then this year it was not getting Dallas Goedert involved, which was a smart move today. But then the third game, you're like, okay, this is kind of a must win. And last year we see it come right down to the wire. It was a gritty game, and they kick a 61-yarder here to win it against the Giants. And then this year, Indy's in the red zone. They're within the 10-yard line, and they make a fourth down stop. And it's just eerily similar. And it's a cool thing to see, because you see how they've progressed so far. Just within these first three games of the season, you've seen how their play calling has developed, how Jim Schwartz has been able – you just saw – I saw a lot more press coverage today. He was able to adapt his scheme more.
He adjusted,
more.
Which was great to see.
Yeah, it was great to see. On offense, I still think there was some questionable play calls, but I talked about it before that commanding the middle of the field is something that they got away from, and they started to do that today. I texted you saying once Zach Ertz started getting targeted and they got Goddard involved over the middle, that things really started opening up for them. But it's only gonna get better. I mean, you're gonna have Alshon hopefully back next week, Jay Ajayi, Darren Sproles. These weapons are gonna come back, and this offense is gonna start clicking at the right time, and they're gonna heat up. And the defense got us this win today, and the offense did just enough to get us by. And that's how good teams win. You're gonna have scrappy games, and that's the deciding factor of maybe home field advantage or a better playoff position. So, you know, a win's a win in the NFL, so on and upwards.
Absolutely. Yeah, and really, a win is a win, and it probably shouldn't have even been that close. But yeah, the theme has been the defense, really. It's been ride and die with the defense. The offense does come away with that big final drive. Wendell Smallwood finishes it. He scores a touchdown, and Wendell Smallwood had a big performance today. But, you know, again, this game probably shouldn't have been as close as it was. And it was probably one of the more exhausting games that I've watched in a while, Gino. I mean, the Eagles continue to struggle with penalties. I think, I'm not sure if there were more penalties after I tallied it up, but I think there were 9 penalties exactly accepted against the Eagles. And, you know, Wentz had 2 turnovers. Jake Elliott missed another kick. There's definitely stuff to work on. And with how conservative this Colts offense was, with it seemed like the Eagles were making plays on the offensive side, at least enough where they probably should have had more points. You could have had Wentz missed a touchdown to Zach Ertz wide open in the end zone. If you get that, maybe a Jake Elliott field goal, they could have been, you know, sneaking towards 30 points. So there, it definitely is some stuff to work on, and I think it probably should have been, you know, not as close as it was, which is an encouraging sign too, because again, they're not 100% healthy.
Yeah, I mean, when you turn the ball over twice within your own 30-yard line, you're bound to give up points. But just imagine if Carson doesn't throw that silly interception, and then, I mean, they got a fingertip on the ball on the fumble. Like, there's really nothing you can do about that. But if you don't allow those 2 turnovers, the Colts really, really weren't moving the ball at all today on offense.
What was going on with their offense? I mean, why?
I do not know.
So I had Matt Danley on from SB Nation Colts Blue Stampede on Thursday, and I asked him, why is Luck averaging the lowest yards per attempt of his career, and the Colts offense, why is it just so conservative? And he says it's part of the scheme. It's trying to get the ball out quicker against, you know, good pass rushes like the Eagles when the Colts don't have the strongest offensive line. Also to kind of knock the rust off of Andrew Luck a little bit. But I'm starting to think, Gino, too, Andrew Luck's arm strength should be a concern for the Colts. I mean, considering the Hail Mary, the last play of the game, they had to put in Jacoby Brissett because Andrew Luck couldn't make that throw. That, to me, if I were a Colts fan, that's got to be pretty alarming, especially what they were just, you know, everything they were doing was, you know, 3 yards in front of the line of scrimmage. It wasn't like the Buccaneers where, okay, they're taking a lot of the underneath stuff, but they're still deep comebacks, and they're really taking advantage of the off coverage of the Eagles. But the Colts, it was little dink and dunk stuff that the Eagles have an underneath zone defensive look, and they're just going to sit on those and make a tackle after a 3-yard gain. I wasn't scared at all that the Colts were going to break out a big play. I mean, it didn't seem like they were capable of doing that, which is crazy considering when Luck's on the field, normally that offense has been explosive throughout his career.
Yeah, I think we kind of knew that the Eagles were going to try and keep him in front of them as well, especially getting exposed last week as much as they did. But I think, one, that the defense really did a good job staying sound, but two, that the play calling, they really did nothing. They did nothing creative with T.Y. Hilton to try and get him open. I feel like they could have game planned that more. He still had his way with Jalen Mills. I would have tried to get him on that side a little bit more. But yeah, it was just disappointing, and you got to feel bad for the Colts at some point. I mean, they just went through that with Peyton Manning, and now you're going to have another quarterback with bad arm strength.
Only this time, this guy's not even 30 yet. So that's the most alarming part.
It's unfortunate. But yeah, it really was concerning. 164 yards for a guy who, coming out of the draft and his first couple of years in the league, showed a lot of promise. But hopefully they can revitalize that offense a little bit more. I know it's tough when your top target outside of T.Y. Hilton is Eric Ebron. Like, it's really difficult to move the ball. But it's kind of unfortunate, but hey, not our problem. We got the better end of that deal by not having to go against a guy that could chuck the ball down the field like Fitz did last week. But
what did you think about the secondary? Because this, to me, I mean, it wasn't a bounce-back game. There wasn't a whole lot that the secondary really had to worry about. But specifically, I mean, for me, with Jalen Mills and Darby, because look, Geno, Sidney Jones again looked really good. There were two plays when the Colts were knocking on the door in the red zone where there's one play, Sidney Jones misses the jab on Eric Ebron, who's inside. He's trying to press him at the line, and he totally fans on the jab. But he has the closing speed to recover. He gets back in front of Ebron, doesn't turn his body, but he sees Ebron's about to make a play on the ball, sticks his hands up, breaks it, you know, makes a pass breakup. Then the next play, they run a screen on Sidney Jones' side. And again, we know how good Sidney Jones is at blowing up those kind of plays. He literally tackles his blocker and the ball carrier while Jalen Mills helps him bring it down. Sidney Jones, again, was really impressive. I think he's the Eagles' best corner already on this team. But what about for Darby and Mills? To me, I was less happy with Darby than I was Mills. Mills, the pass interferences were tough. But look, I thought when Jim Schwartz let him press at the line, I thought he made some nice tackles in open space. He made some nice plays on the ball, even on T.Y. Hilton. The PIs you want to stop, but even his positioning on those weren't terrible. To me, it was more Darby. I was growing frustrated with Darby continuously throughout this game again. I don't know if it's the scheme with how deep they're using him or if it's just it's something that he's just playing very conservative with the ball, but you know, he wasn't turning his head in time a lot. I was pretty disappointed with Darby again 2 weeks straight, and you know, it's quite the downfall from how good he looked week one against Atlanta.
Yeah, I know. I kind of mushed him from that week one, hyping him up.
I think we might have jinxed it because we were ready to declare him CB1 and give him a new extension after 1 week.
Yeah, we really got to eat crow about that. But
we do.
I thought he had just an average game for him. I was really disappointed with his positioning on the ball on that touchdown to Ryan Grant. That was just he should make that play 9 times out of 10. And
especially against a guy like that. That's a player, if you're going to pay someone like Darby, you have to be able to stop that kind of guy. That's a guy you have to stop. I understand if Mike Evans tears you up sometimes, but Grant, or some of the Colts receivers, what was it, Robertson? I mean, Robinson, I think. I don't even know his name. I mean, that's the problem, is you got to stop those guys.
Chester Rogers was the guy.
Yes, thank you. I knew it began with an R, but I mean, forgive me for not knowing him.
No, that's fair, but yeah, no, I completely agree, and it's, I don't know what it is, maybe it's just he does better against better competition. Like, I'm not 100% sure. Like, he had a great game against Julio, who's top two wide receiver in the league, but I hope that when he plays next week against better competition, I think with Corey Davis and Rishard Matthews and that whole group they have over there, that should be a better test. But yeah, this was just an average game for Darby, and I think Mills, the same thing. I wasn't blown away. He was a little better. He wasn't playing 15 yards off the ball like he usually does. He was up at the line at some points, and he did have a little better click and close speed. Like, he was able to recognize when the ball was getting out of the quarterback hands a little bit. But still, those penalties are killers. Like, that just basically counted as a completion, you know? Like,
true.
He's a veteran at this point. He has to know better than to make stupid calls like that. Like, when you know the receiver isn't going to be able to make a super well play on the ball, just deflect the ball. You don't need to hold on to the guy.
Again, like, I think with Mills, he's not – he can be an outside corner for you at number two if you have someone like Sidney Jones on the outside. But when you're – it's tough to have him in a defense that does not shadow receivers because they could just continuously keep T.Y. Hilton. And T.Y. Hilton, really, Frank Wright took that advice. For the most part, I saw T.Y. Hilton on Jalen Mills almost the entire game. Honestly, I didn't see Darby on Hilton a whole lot. So they took that and knew Jim Schwartz doesn't rotate his corners. So in this kind of defense, Mills is going to be at risk of being a liability more often than maybe in other defenses. But you know, it's against the bigger guys that I still, you know, I was impressed today with, I mean, that play against Eric Ebron in the red zone, making a play on that ball, contested. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eric Ebron's a big dude. Jalen Mills is an undersized corner. He plays aggressive, which is why he was able to break that ball up. But that's a mismatch that the Colts tried to take advantage of, and Mills got it down. So, you know, it wasn't a great game for Mills because, again, like you said, you can't. Those are killer penalties. But I honestly thought he had a better game than Darby. And I'm waiting for the break at the Sidney Jones outside look. And I don't know if we're going to get it this year because he's playing almost as well as Patrick Robinson did last year in the slot, mm-hmm. but it's only a matter of time. And if Darby continues to play like he's done the past 2 weeks, he's not getting a contract extension here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just a tough scenario. Like, you see him play so well and then you just see him play so far.
And you see the talent too. It's aggravating because you wish he could put it all together.
His closing speed is top in the league for cornerbacks.
I mean, he's one of two corners that could probably run with DeSean Jackson in
the
league.
Yeah, exactly. But I really think it is he just plays down to his competition. I don't know. I'm not going out on any merit on that, but just the way you see him play when he does play well against good competition, and then he goes out against in the last two games, and he just kind of craps a bed, I'd say. I don't know. I really don't know what to say. Like, it's frustrating.
Hopefully he can have a bounce back against the Titans next week. It's a game where there's not a burner on that offense. Corey Davis is their best receiving option. So I think that's the game where hopefully they really bounce back. Hey, quick update for you. Speaking on the secondary, Roddy McLeod went down holding his knee after mm-hmm. colliding with, I think it was Malcolm Jenkins or not. I forget who it was on the Eagles defense. But
yeah, one of those two hit his knee when they were going for the tackle.
So he, according to Elliott Shore Parks, he should be okay. McLeod says it was nothing serious. That's what he told the media, which is big because, you know, McLeod had another good game today, nearly had another interception.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that.
So, and if he goes down, I mean, how much do you want Corey Graham playing? And they run a lot of three safety sets. I was maybe thinking give Rasul some looks, get him on the field more, but looks like McLeod's going to be okay for Tennessee next week. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles recap show. The Eagles take down the Indianapolis Colts 2-0 at home this year, 2-1 on the season, 20-16 final. We'll get into the offensive side now. We got to talk Carson Wentz Geno next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri, recapping the Eagles' nail-biting 20-16 victory against the Indianapolis Colts. We talked about the defensive side, how they were able to hold tight. But before we even get into Carson Wentz and how the offense did, Gino, we can't go this show without mentioning Derek Barnett. I think Derek Barnett is one of the candidates for, and he's going to be a candidate for the Locked On Eagles Player of the Game, but say what you want about Barnett. The second moves, I think they're getting better. I think he's becoming a more refined pass rusher. But from the start of last year in his rookie season up until now, he has a major clutch gene for such a young player at such an important position with the strip sack on Case Keenum in the NFC title game, recovering the fumble in the Super Bowl when Brandon Graham hit the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. Now against the Colts in the red zone when you have to make a play, he's the one that gets behind the offensive line, chases down Andrew Luck, and gets him to the ground. Derek Barnett consistently has come up big when the Eagles need him most close in games, and it was another encouraging game from him, not only on, you know, that avenue of it, but also he was great against the run again, which he's been really throughout his career with the Eagles. I was encouraged with Derek Barnett's performance.
Me too. Fletcher was getting some penetration, not as much as I thought. He had that brace on his shoulder. I don't know what was up with that, but he didn't seem to be at 100% today. Derek Barnett, I'm just bewildered by him because he's the same with – it just is the same with Ronald Darby. Like, you see the talent that they have, and when they show up huge. Like, in the run game, the ball was not getting past Derek Barnett. And then he was beating the tackles all game. He was collapsing that pocket all game. But then the previous 2 weeks, he really wasn't doing much. It blows my mind, but I was happy to show that he showed up this game because the way I look at it from that – perspective of the defensive ends is that one of them every game has to step up. Like, it doesn't matter which one of them it is, as long as one of them has one plus sacks and has a decent amount of QB pressures, they're gonna do well in games. And that was Barnett today. I mean, it's great when you can rotate Brandon Graham, Chris Long, Derek Barnett, and a whole slew of other people, and each one of them can take over a game single-handedly. It's something that not many teams in the league ever have had, you know, that much depth. But I was happy for him today. He's trying to get that spin move involved a little bit more. I think he's growing slowly but surely. You got to think he's still just a kid. He's 22 years old at this point. He's just going to keep getting better, and it's encouraging that this early into his career, he had the big play in the Super Bowl. He's made plays throughout the entire season last year, and now he's starting to click again this year, and it's very promising to see that.
I'd like to thank the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Bradford for Derek Barnett. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you. Yeah, they did great today against Buffalo.
They got lit up by Josh Allen. We're going to get them in 2 weeks, so we might catch them at a good time. But, look, Derek Barnett, really good once again. He's going to be a candidate for the Lockdown Eagles Player of the Week, which we'll get into in the final segment. But he made up for it, too, because in that Atlanta game, he almost cost the Eagles, where he went offsides on the goal line stand. So Barnett had a big day, though, for the Eagles, and I was impressed with the defensive performance pretty much all around. It wasn't too big of a test because, again, the Colts' offense was so one-dimensional.
Jordan Hicks just dominated again.
Nigel Bradham came up big in coverage. Yeah, he led the team with 8 tackles today. Nigel Bradham, I thought, was really big in that final drive in coverage on the tight ends, especially Eric Ebron. He got the wind knocked out of him, so if you guys saw him go to the sidelines, Nigel Bradham is okay. Made a great play on that ball. He's consistently one of the best coverage linebackers in the league, so the defense doing their thing once again at home, just like they always do, keeping teams under 20 points. So great performance on the defensive side. But, Gino, let's get into the main event now, and that's Carson Wentz coming back.
The moment we've all been waiting for 288 days.
I remember all of them because I was counting down, waiting for this guy to get back on the field, and he didn't disappoint today. You know, the numbers, he finishes 25 of 37, 255 yards, a touchdown. He had 2 crucial turnovers in Eagles territory, which you cannot do, especially with a third-year veteran franchise quarterback. You know, when you put the ball on the ground like that, that's something you got to correct. But I saw enough today, Gino, with the injuries the offense had to deal with, to overcome with the weather. It was rainy. The fact that we got to see glimpses of his 2017 self was a great sign. So again, we talk about how encouraging this win was. You get a scrapper late in a game with the defense playing well, but also it wasn't a game where Carson Wentz struggled and they still won this game. Carson Wentz, you know, I like how they started off with him. You know, with the up tempo, I think Wentz does really good in that area, getting the ball out quickly.
Get him in a rhythm.
Yep, and they didn't take shots really that I thought maybe they would try, mostly because, I mean, the Colts really just had to worry about Nelson Aguilar as a deep threat down the field. They didn't really use Jordan Matthews a whole lot. He only had 2 catches for 21 yards. But you look at it, and they were using on that first drive up tempo, finding, you know, holes in the zone in the middle of the field. They were using 3 tight ends the majority of the game, where Ertz and Goddard sometimes were lined up as receivers. So was Josh Perkins. So I liked what they did to start with Carson Wentz. And then once he got comfortable, he started, you know, playing that street ball Carson Wentz, where he's just playing pickup football in the backyard again, running around, making 5 different defensive ends miss. And, you know, he reminds me a lot of just playing NFL Street 2, if you saw me tweet that out, Gino, where, like,
it's a good analogy.
He's just running around. It looks like he's jumping off walls, making great plays. And it was a great sign considering he's coming off a torn ACL, seeing that mobility and escapability, which almost looks better than it was last year. That's an encouraging sign because that was a part of his game that I didn't want to lose after the injury.
Yeah, and I think he played it exactly how you and I wanted him to play it. He didn't get too overzealous running the ball, but he also used his feet to make plays. Like that one when he just escaping tackles left and right. You cannot strip that stuff.
It's pure instinct.
It is. And it's a great thing to have, and he knows how to do it better than any Eagles quarterback I've seen. It's phenomenal. I mean, he was one bad throw and 2 fingertips away from having an absolutely incredible game. I mean, the interception, tried to force that ball. I did not like that throw from the get-go. I think he knew the second he looked that direction that was going to be bad. The fumble, I mean, it was literally Marcus Hunt's index finger that got that ball. That was phenomenal. The power of that index finger, man, that just took it right out of Carson's hands.
Yeah.
And then Malik Hooker, he doesn't knock that ball down when Aguilar got behind the defense. That's a 60-yard touchdown. Carson almost threw for two touchdowns and 300 yards.
If Malik Hooker jumps like a half a second slower,
he's gone.
Or too
to the
soon,
house.
Nelson Aguilar has nothing there. Just he has open space. He scores that touchdown. So you're right. There was a lot of, you know, a couple plays here and there, and yeah, he has an incredible game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can just see how much different it is from Nick to Carson and the throws that he's willing to make. You know,
right?
Like I don't see Nick making that throw to Nelson. I was mixing up Elshon and Nelson Aguilar. That'd be one heck of a player if you put two together. But but yeah, he got behind the defense, and I think Carson tried to force that throw in there a little bit, something that Nick I don't think would be willing to do. You know, it's just some of the throws he made more throws over to the middle. He wasn't right-hand dominant throwing it to the hash marks on the right side. He was getting out. He was going to the line of scrimmage. He was killing plays. He was checking things. Exactly what you wanted him to do. I've never heard so much more communication between a quarterback and an offensive line than
like
I did
the
during
audibles
this
and stuff,
game.
It looked like
that
Peyton
was
Manning
crazy
out there, right?
They were having full-on conversations. That was phenomenal. And that's
I remember
just something
we could actually hear
love.
Them mic'd up where Wentz looked to Jason Kelce. He's like, "Do you still like it? Do you still like it?" And then
yeah,
Kelce's like, "Yeah."
Oh,
so
the
then,
trust you have your
oh,
offensive
it's awesome.
Line. I love it. And that's just what makes him great, and that's what makes him special. And you saw it. I think from the moment he took the field, that first drive was clinical. And the last drive, I applaud everybody involved for an 11-minute drive when you have to win a game and you go down and score a touchdown. I know Indianapolis helped us with some penalties, but still, you were resilient the whole way down. Carson made the correct throws. Doug made the right play calls.
The offensive line was making waves for the running backs. It reminded me a lot of that Chargers drive last year where Corey Clement scored to take the lead, and they were getting help from all avenues of the offense.
Yeah, that was just incredible. I know the couple penalties definitely helped, but Doug
wasn't
just
called
that, a great
though.
Game.
It was a good performance.
For the first three games, I think this was his best play calling. There was still the one play that was behind the line of scrimmage when they were at about the 35.
I know
that
exactly
took them
which
out
you're
of,
talking about. Yep.
You knew
it looked
I
like
was
the Dallas steamed. Play all over again.
Yes, you knew I was on. You knew I was getting angry at that play. That drove me absolutely bananas that they still do that. They did manage to get a first down, if I'm not mistaken, on that drive. But
they
still,
did, and it was actually one of the plays I wanted to talk about because, you know, that was aggravating, and that reminds me of Doug Peterson 2016. It reminds me of Andy Reid type stuff, right? So, but the play that really stood out to me on that drive, because again, they got help from the offensive line was opening holes for Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement, Josh Adams, all had big games. Clement and Smallwood both finished with 56 yards on 10 carries. Josh Adams averaging 5 yards a pop, going 6 for 30. You know, Smallwood also had 35 yards through the air, so it could have been the Wendell Smallwood game here in this one. But that drive, the big play to me, was when it was 3rd and 9, and Carson Wentz goes out to throw. The pocket collapsed immediately around Wentz, and he really doesn't have anywhere to go. He makes a little room by stepping up, finds Aguilar, who then jumps over a Colts player to get the first down. And it's just those two on third down last year where it was probably the best connection in the NFL on third down, and it continued today. Aguilar was he didn't have a big game, but when he made plays, it was in crucial situations when they needed to move the chains. And similar with Wentz, like that's a play that Nick Foles probably does not make. He probably ends up getting sacked there. And it's plays like that, again, make Wentz special. And it's plays like that make me laugh when people call Wentz a system quarterback. Because plays like that, a system quarterback's not making. Jared Goff isn't making that play. Again, it's like backyard football type stuff. And that's a play, too, that 2016 Carson Wentz might not make, or this 2016 offense doesn't make, whereas now it looked like the 2016 weapons out there, but we had 2017 Wentz, though, under center.
I think there were a couple plays this game that really I go to that point of them not that they wouldn't make in 2016, and they were both, funny enough, made by Nelson Aguilar. There was the one that you just described when it was third down and he dived towards the pylon. But then there was another one that it was third and short. He gets the ball. Instead of going right towards the first down line where he probably would have got tackled, he made a short shimmy back towards the line of scrimmage, and he was able to cut outside to get towards the first down. And those are just veteran plays. And to see the confidence out of Nelly, I know he didn't have a huge game, but for him to show up in those big moments is promising. And it opened, now that teams focus on him, you saw it more. Things opened up for the middle of the field for Zach and Dallas, and I thought they both had excellent games. You saw the one pass, the wheel route to Wendell Smallwood in the middle of the field. It's just everybody on this team is they're selfless. They contribute when they need to, and they know that no matter what they're doing, they're contributing to the team. And I think it's excellent. It was a team win today. Not one person won that game for them. It was an overall team win.
I loved it from the coaching perspective, too, because they listened to some of the critiques that we were talking about on the show this week, where for Jim Schwartz it was, bring your corners down more on the line of scrimmage. Don't let them beat you and keep taking these, you know, 10-yard comebacks, you know, and pick you apart every time. And it looked like Jim Schwartz adjusted with some underneath zone-type packages on defense as well. And then on the offensive side, me and you all week were calling for more 12 personnel, you know, pretty much everyone was. Get Dallas Goedert involved more. Stop playing Josh Perkins as much. And although Perkins
did
play
to him on the first play of the game.
Right. Yeah, and Perkins made a couple nice plays. He made a big block on one of Wendell Smallwood's, you know, runs. So it wasn't a terrible performance from him. But I loved that Peterson really used the tight ends as receivers, because these aren't Brent Celek type tight ends. These guys are all basically just big, a little bit slower, you know, wide receivers. And when you have only Nelson Aguilar and then Jordan Matthews, who you just brought in this week on offense, you got to use these guys. And they did. Goddard and Ertz both finished with 73 yards. Goddard has a touchdown in that first drive. And it was encouraging too, because I think Wentz was the guy that really clicked with Goddard in training camp. Whereas Foles, you didn't really see that rapport. Week one almost got him a touchdown, but outside of that, they didn't use him. I was also encouraged with the use of those tight ends, because I was alarmed that despite all of the injuries that the Eagles suffered at wide receiver, Doug was still throwing out Shelton Gibson and DeAndre Carter and Kamar Aiken, whereas today I like that, you know, they just used the better talent on the field today regardless of position.
Yeah, I think that was a great adjustment. You hit it right on the head that these guys aren't the best blocking tight ends and that they're meant to catch the ball. Dallas Goedert could catch literally anything. His hands are incredible.
They're impressive.
And I'm so happy they got him involved in this game today. And he almost got that the game-clinching first down at the end. He made a heck of a play.
He was really close to getting that.
He was real close. He's a great player, and I think you hit it right on the head saying that they put the better talent out there. They didn't just try to play with an X receiver. They threw whoever out there that they needed to, you know? I mean, Josh Perkins still isn't the guy you want on the field, but he came up in big moments. He made some good plays, you know, and that's just a luxury that this team has, is that they have the depth, and that's what is winning these games. You have to think, you just won a game without Jay Ajayi, Darren Sproles, and Alshon Jeffrey. That's,
I mean, those
impressive.
Are probably three when they're on the field. I mean, outside of Aguilar, I mean, Aguilar and Ertz are probably ahead of Sproles and Ajayi, but those are three of your biggest playmakers on offense. And they're your two starting running backs. I mean, you saw how they used the running back rotation against Atlanta week one. It was pretty much 40-40 Ajayi and Sproles, and then 20% Corey Clement.
Yeah, it's just a great thing to see, really.
The fact that we're 2-1 with all these injuries is, I mean, it shows just how Howie Roseman has built the depth of this roster. But it's just, you know, again, in 2016, these are wins that the Eagles just don't get. These are the games that the Eagles always lost by like 6 points. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that Doug and this team have matured in 2 years and have learned how to finish almost every time now. I mean, there's the close games they still don't finish, like last week against Tampa Bay. But with this core intact, with Carson Wentz on the field, how seeing them, because that was the one thing I was concerned about, is like, that's something that you have to learn how to do, closing tight games. And it's so impressive how they've done that, you know, not just this year, but last year as well, in the few close games that they actually had last year.
Yeah, that's why it's so difficult to talk on, because we've never been in this scenario. Like, it's so strange to me to just like see them win these games. Like,
right,
I was
how many
just
times
waiting.
Does Andy Reid just go in the he's not in no huddle yet, and there's like 1:30 left and you have no timeouts? Like, that's stuff we were so accustomed to in the past.
Yeah, I as an Oregon fan, I saw it last night at just what a stupid play calling can do. Like you're up in the game and you run it with 50 seconds left, fumble the ball, and the other team can take it and win the game. Like I was just waiting for Corey Clement at some point today when they're trying to lock it down, just fumble the ball and they go down and score.
We got to get him off punt returns, if you ask me. He had
three fumbles today. It's brutal.
He's not very explosive. So, I mean, the punt return job, you know, Kenyon Barner did go with it last year when Sproles was hurt. I don't know what they're going to do when Sproles comes back. I mean, he'll be back at punt returner, but if he ever goes down again, which he could, he's 35 years old. He's been dealing with injuries the past couple years. They got to have a backup plan to Corey Clement. And I know it was just one game. It was a rainy environment on the day, but just the speed factor as well. I feel like there are better options where even Wendell Smallwood or Shelton Gibson, I would like to see get some more looks in the return games for both sides.
After today, you have to get him off punt return.
That could cost you the game if he doesn't recover all three of those.
And that's what I was saying. Like they lose that game in 2016. Like they would have lost the punt, and it would have just they would have got it at the 30-yard line like they did all day, and that's where they were scoring from. But it's just good to see that even when you do make bad play calls, like that play that was very similar to the Dallas call a couple years ago that took them out of field goal range, they still were able to make up for it. And that's what veteran teams do. Like you can have slips at times, but it's how you get up and really force your effort down the rest of the game. And they never like hung their heads at all, even though the stadium did get dead quiet when Indy took the lead. But these guys never got down. They just held in there. They were able to keep their composure for an 11-minute drive to cap off the game. And then the defense just holds strong after allowing a couple big plays and got down to the 10-yard line. It's just impressive. This is a team that keep getting healthier. They're going to keep getting better. They're going to keep winning close games, and they're going to make another push in the playoffs. It's the way the world works now for these Philadelphia Eagles.
Before we take our final break and get to our Locked On Eagles Player of the Week, let's just go down the stat line real quick here for the Eagles offense. Carson Wentz finished 25 of 37, 255 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. He did get sacked 5 times, Gino, which is a little concerning. I thought sometimes the one play, it shouldn't have been blown dead, and it shouldn't have been a sack, so really, I count this as 4 sacks, but the Colts did a good job at disguising some blitzes at times. I thought a couple times Carson Wentz is just trying to make a play down the field, and there's not a lot of talent on the field to get open for him, so I'm not too concerned about that, but it is something hopefully they can get better next week on the ground. Wendell Smallwood, 10 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown. Corey Clement, 16 carries and 56 yards. And then our boy Josh Adams, 6 carries for 30 yards. And even if Adams just is that fourth guy that he comes in as a change of pace, I mean, that's a hard player to tackle when you're going up against guys like Jay Ajayi and Darren Sproles and Corey Clement all the time. And then if you have the ability to bring in a big dude like Josh Adams to pound up the middle, I mean, he just takes the yards that he's given today. And when there's a hole and he gets running downhill, it looked a lot like LeGarrette Blount today.
Yeah, he looked good. I really have to go back first before we keep touching on the Eagles and tip my hat to Darius Leonard. I think you nailed it by saying when they were disguising blitzes, there was one of the sacks he had. He had his body completely faced towards behind him. And then he just turned his shoulder and dipped right towards Carson Wentz. And Carson didn't even acknowledge that he was there and just got sacked. But they disguised that real well. That was a move that I've never seen before. And I think they did good for the limited amount of talent that they had. Darius Leonard is an absolute beast, and that kid is going to be good in this league.
That team doesn't have a lot of talent at all, Gino. Like, you just go down the line. They're very young, but I mean, outside of Adam Vinatieri, who's 45, they are very, very young, and there's not a lot of talent that you really know on this. I mean, Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton are probably the only household names, and then probably Adam Vinatieri on this Colts roster.
Yeah, definitely not on their defense. I mean, Malik Hooker, he's a baller.
If you're a
really
draft guy, you definitely know him
too. Yeah, but outside of that, they really didn't have much talent. Jabal Sheard had another disruptive game. He cost him on that holding penalty, which I've never seen a holding on a defensive lineman on an offensive lineman. That was something that was new to me.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, because he restricted lane, so the pass rusher went around the outside or forgot who it was, and he was able to get to Carson. But that's a clear-cut penalty, apparently. But yeah, I think outside of Marcus Hunt, Malik Hooker, and Darius Leonard, they really didn't have a great game. I mean, that's what we expected. We didn't expect them to come and knock our socks off, but 5 sacks is a little concerning. I don't think the offensive line had overall their best game, but they did enough to get by. They did enough to get the win, and that's exactly what they needed to do.
All right, let's take one more break here on the Locked On Eagles post-game show as the Eagles defeat the Indianapolis Colts 20-16 here in this Week 3 matchup. We'll wrap up the show with our Locked On Eagles Players of the Week. Me and Gino will give a nomination, and then we'll get to the poll, who you, the listeners, also decided. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up the show. It's time for our Locked On Eagles Player of the Week. I'm going to start on the poll, Gino, and then me and you will give who we thought was the Player of the Week. And it looks like right now the fans have decided that Derek Barnett is the Player of the Week. And coming in second, well, it was a tie between Wendell Smallwood and Carson Wentz. I put Dallas Goedert as another nominee. I thought maybe Fletcher Cox was pretty good in this game, Jordan Hicks. But it did come down to Smallwood, Wentz, and Derek Barnett. It was a great team effort, like you said, Gino, but it looks like the fans decided Derek Barnett got the game-winning sack on Andrew Luck. Gino, who is the guy to me, or to you, that really stood out the most here in this Eagles victory?
Yeah, I think Barnett is just, of course, the top one there. But in my opinion, it was great to see Zach Ertz have a key Zach Ertz game. You know, it just, he had 5 receptions for 73 yards, and he was there making plays when they needed him to. You just really didn't see it with Foles. They just never had that connection that Carson and Zach have, you know, like he was there to command the middle of the field, something that he needs to do every single game. And I think he did at this game, and it was great to see. I know Dallas took away some of his receptions and some of his reps, but I think Zach did exactly what he needed to do, and he had the type of game I want to see him play every single week, around 75 yards, and he blocked really well, in my opinion.
Zach Ertz is a good one. I like that. Again, finish was 73 yards. This is a tough one, but I'm going to go with Wendell Smallwood. I think this, you know, Corey Clement had the same amount of yards on 16 carries, so on 6 more. I thought the offensive line was opening up a lot for all three of these running backs, but Smallwood all game throughout the first half and the second half was making the most, and it wasn't just where he would take the hole the offensive line gave him and get up the field, but there were times too where it looked like they'd stop him at a 2-yard gain, and suddenly Smallwood just keep moving his legs. And for a smaller guy, how tough he ran today was really impressive. And also 35 yards through the air, including, and he also had the game-winning touchdown. Everything that Smallwood has gone through, really, from, you know, being a consistent guy on the roster that got touches in his first year in 2016, and then the first half of last year, then they bring in Jay Ajayi, and, you know, he really isn't used all that much. He becomes a healthy scratch pretty much every game as a healthy inactive. And then it looked like, to me, this year, they brought in Matt Jones, Donnell Pumphrey was here, they brought in Josh Adams. It looked like he wasn't going to make the roster. He has a great preseason, and now he's one of the main reasons the Eagles get a win in the regular season. I was impressed with Wendell Smallwood's performance today, and shout out to Wingman on Twitter, the Smallwood Hive, audience of one. shout out to you, man, the biggest Wendell Smallwood fan, and maybe the only Wendell Smallwood fan out there. Enjoy your day if you're listening to the show. But yeah, Wendell Smallwood is my Locked On Eagles Player of the Game. Okay, Gino, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to everyone that listened in. The Eagles are 2-1 and flying high. They head to Tennessee next Sunday to take on the 2-1 Tennessee Titans. Gino and I will be here throughout the week covering the game. We're also going to do a little more Colts talk tomorrow, and then we'll move on to the Titans on Tuesday. Gino, good talking to you again. We'll see you tomorrow, and let's go Birds.
Yeah, fly Eagles fly.